Our study tonight is out of Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 40, accepting the need for practical separation. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles and from Jerusalem to Rome. So we can learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 40 records how human limitations required that a practical separation occur between Paul and Barnabas in their ministries. And review the passage for our insight, our application, and our edification. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Acts 15, 36 through 40. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good or fitting to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and did not go with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And then verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Okay, following their first missionary journey, Paul urged Barnabas to come with him to revisit their brothers in Christ in every city where they had preached the word of the Lord, to see how they were doing. Now, this is a very practical need. These people were not that committed to Christ. I mean, they were new converts. A lot of new converts had been led to the Lord. And there were churches all over the place where there were these new converts. And Paul was concerned about follow-up. This is something that it's really important. When people come to Christ or when we lead them to Christ, they need follow-up. They need someone who's a strong Christian to come alongside, because they're vulnerable. They're open to problems. They're going to be running into angelic conflict issues, and they won't understand that at all. So it's very important that these new converts be helped. Well, Barnabas agreed, but he also wanted to take along with him John, whose surname was Mark. Now, Paul thought it not fitting. The Greek word is axiao, to deem fitting. In other words, he didn't think... At first, he wasn't really adamant against it, but he said, it's not fitting. And he's going to explain that in a little bit. That they not take John Mark along with them, because he had departed from them at Pamphylia, and he had not continued with them on their first missionary journey. Now, on the surface, that looks like a rather mundane argument. You know, he left us, so what? You know, he's coming with us the second time. But we're going to see some of the reasons that Paul had behind this, and they're very solid reasons. Now, the difference of opinion between Barnabas and Paul grew into a sharp disagreement. The Greek word paroxysmos, meaning sharp disagreement, appears after the verb ginomai. The verb ginomai means to come into origin, or to be, or to become. Revealing that Paul and Barnabas developed a sharp disagreement. When they started off, there was just a difference of opinion. But, Barnabas said, and Paul says, no, let's keep them behind. And Barnabas said, nothing doing. And before you knew it, they got going back and forth, and they had a very strong disagreement going on. Now, considering the concerns of each man in this dispute reveals a very deep interest that each man had for the welfare of various people in the body of Christ. Paul wanted to strengthen new converts that they had discipled on their first journey. To achieve this, Paul and Barnabas could not afford to have a spiritually weak John Mark abandon them again, this time in full view of new converts, as that could unsettle these converts to their harm. See, the first time he'd left them at Pamphylia before they'd actually started to preach. So the people there, the believers didn't know about him not being with them. But Paul says, we can't risk him coming with us and going further inland into these churches and then all of a sudden quitting and going off, because these new converts are going to say, what's with him? Oh, he's quitting. This is too hard, or whatever. And the people are going to probably sit there and say, well, is there something wrong with the Christian faith? Well, you know, you guys came bringing us this faith. Why is he quitting? So for John Mark to abandon them again, this time in full view of new converts, could unsettle the converts to their harm. After all, Paul in Titus chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, directed that elders had to be men who held fast to the faithful word that they might strongly counter false teachers, not men who would abandon the work if they encountered spiritual opposition. My mentor at Dallas Seminary, Dr. Dwight Pentecost, one time I was on the phone with him, and he said, you should never quit just because something is hard in the Lord's work. If you're doing that, you're probably running from Satan. So just because it's hard, you know, if the Lord wants you to change direction, he'll make it very, very clear. But just because something is difficult, that's not a good reason. In fact, there's a proverb that says, if your strength is weak in the day of adversity, weak is your strength. You're not supposed to quit just because it gets hard. But a lot of people do. Now, on the other hand, Barnabas was concerned about John Mark and believers who were supportive of him. John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. Now, I know in the King James Version, in Colossians 4:10, it says he was his mother's son, but that's a mistranslation. The Greek word is anepsios. Anepsios is the old word for cousin. So he was relative. And blood runs thicker than water, as you know. And John Mark's mother Mary owned the house where the church in Jerusalem gathered in Acts chapter 12, verse 12. And it was traditionally believed that at the Last Supper, that's where the Last Supper occurred with Jesus and his disciples. So this is a big issue. Furthermore, the Apostle Peter had discipled John Mark as his son in the Christian faith from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. So Peter has an interest in John Mark. The church in Jerusalem has a big interest in John Mark because he's the son of the lady whose house where they met. It was a big house, apparently had an upper room, a large room, so many people could meet in it. And so, you know, if they thought, the people in Jerusalem thought that John Mark was getting mistreated here, that could create a tension between two churches, the church in Jerusalem and the church at Antioch. So to leave John Mark behind because he failed to go with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey could not only strain Barnabas' relationship with his relatives, but create friction between Barnabas and Paul on the one hand and the Jerusalem church for refusing to take along a beloved member of their body. Accordingly, Barnabas felt that it was in the best interests of everybody involved to take John Mark with him and to work out the spiritual problem that John Mark had as they proceeded on their second missionary journey. Apparently, Barnabas felt him, he's my cousin, I know him, know the family well. We'll keep him under tabs, don't worry about it, Paul. Well, in the end, what occurred ended up being the only edifying step that they could take, a very practical division between Paul and Barnabas. Now, it's interesting, later the Apostle Paul, I believe, writes in the book of Galatians very respectfully about Barnabas. He said even Barnabas was taken away by the hypocrisy that was going on. And since he uses the word even in front of Barnabas, it shows that Paul had a high regard for Barnabas. So this was not a personal tiff. This is not a break in fellowship. This is a very, very strong disagreement because they were concerned. Barnabas was concerned about the relationship between two massive churches here. Paul was very concerned about a whole bunch of churches with new converts. Well, Barnabas then took John Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Now, remember, that's exactly where Paul and Barnabas had begun their first missionary journey, sailing to Cyprus. So Barnabas takes John Mark there. Now, John Mark did not run away from them there. John Mark joined them all the way until they got up to Pamphylia, which is on the southern coast of what is now Turkey. So John Mark's leaving them did not occur at Cyprus. He apparently was able to handle that situation. So this would not have hurt the reputation of Barnabas or John Mark for John Mark to go there, unless John Mark were to quit even there, but it was highly unlikely. So anyway, he took him, John Mark with him, Barnabas did, up to a place where he had not abandoned them. In that way, John Mark had helped strengthen the disciples while Barnabas worked to disciple John Mark himself. Conversely, Paul chose Silas, who had been sent to Antioch by the Jerusalem church, and he visited the churches of Syria, Cilicia, and eventually in Asia, we know that, where John Mark had abandoned them. Now, of course, John Mark had abandoned them before they'd started preaching when they were still on the coast. See, the coast there, there's still to this day, there are a lot of malaria and a lot of illness. And who knows, there might have been sickness that drove John Mark away. We don't know. Significantly, the believers in Antioch, it's interesting, committed them all to the grace of God. Did you pick that up in verse 40? Paul chose Silas and departed, and everyone's being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. Sometimes that's the only thing you can do. Just recommend them to the grace of God. And the church did. Now God graciously blessed the result. After Barnabas had discipled John Mark in Cyprus, John Mark was given a probationary ministry at Colossae. In fact, in Colossians 4:10, it says, you have instructions regarding John Mark. When he comes, you know what to do. Apparently he was under probation, and of course, Colossae is up in Pamphylia, in that area. So he's in the area where John Mark hadn't been, but he was up there. And eventually, near Paul's martyrdom, Paul wrote to Timothy and urged him to send John Mark to him, since he was by then profitable for Paul in the ministry. 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul said, bring John Mark. He's profitable for me in the ministry. That's a tremendous compliment. Here's a man that Paul at one time adamantly had refused to send him. Paul now is on death row. He says, send him. He's going to be helpful to me. John Mark had come a long way. But what's even greater than that, John Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark, a remarkable achievement of the grace of God. There's a real lesson in John Mark's biography. I used to preach on biographies. Someday we'll have to get back to doing that. John Mark is a perfect example of a believer who washed up at one time, but he got his act together, got right with the Lord, and then the Lord used him. And his gospel is the first one that was written. Mark was first, then I think Luke and Matthew, and then eventually John was decades later. But Mark's gospel provides some invaluable insight, especially from Peter's perspective. You have a lot of details about Peter there, and of course Peter was close to Mark and had discipled him, but that's great. But you know, if Paul hadn't gone without John Mark, there are a number of epistles that we have about the Apostle Paul in Colossae, Philippians, and so forth that might not have been written or written the same way, because if John Mark had gone up there and hadn't been effectively discipled, it could have been a tough thing. So all the way around, you needed those epistles that Paul wrote. You also need the Gospel of Mark, which is an extremely important gospel. And so the Lord in his grace worked in two different directions. I was reminded as I was making this that there's the Feast of Pentecost, which represents the church era in the book of Leviticus. The Feast of Pentecost is the only feast where you offer leavened loaves. Now, normally you don't have anything that has to do with leaven, but there are two leavened loaves. They represent Jew and Gentile in the church, and the leaven represents sin. So there's sin still. You know, as believers, we still have sin natures within us. We still have weaknesses and whatnot. But God in his grace has sanctified us positionally in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's still weaknesses. And so sometimes there are tough decisions that have to be made. Sometimes there has to be a practical division because of the weakness of the human condition. So the lesson is, considering all the relationships and the circumstances involved, the only workable solution to the sharp disagreement Paul and Barnabas had over John Mark was for them to go their separate ways in God's grace. So in application, may we realize that human limitations at times require practical divisions for the edification of all. When I was a child, I grew up in a mission field in Africa, and my parents were with a mission, SIM International. And often there would be missionaries that would come out who were tremendous pioneer missionaries. They would come in, and some of these were women who came in. They were single women. They would go to an area, and they would lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as soon as the men were capable, they would turn the work over to the men and step aside. But You have to understand, pioneer missionaries have a mind of their own. Normally, they're very strong-minded, strong-willed people. And after a while, the mission directors would try to lead the work to go into depth where they turn the work over more to the Africans and whatnot. And these pioneer missionaries didn't know how to do that because they were used to controlling the whole thing. And there have been times when the directors of the mission would actually have to direct that these people leave the mission, even though they're dear brothers or sisters in Christ, because they couldn't work, they couldn't cooperate with the leaders of the mission who wanted to get the work to move on further. And you don't blame the dear pioneer missionaries. I mean, they put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, literally, into getting the work off the ground in the hard days when they were struggling just to stay alive from malaria and whatnot. But because of the way the work was developing, because of the nationalism that was growing, you needed to turn the work over to the Evangelical Church of West Africa under the Africans. It was very, very difficult on those missionaries, so they had to part company. And we kept in touch, my parents kept in touch both with some of these pioneer missionaries and with some of the mission leaders who had to let them go. Both dear people, you know, both groups, but nevertheless, there was a practical need. There had to be a parting of the ways because of the limitations of humanity. I think what we have to do is respond just like the church did here at Antioch, recommend them with the grace of God. You know, leave it with the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He loves both of these people. And sometimes, because of human limitations, that's all you can do. Let the pieces fall out where they may and go on from there. So God help us to have wisdom to recognize that there are limitations that people have. There's only so far they can stretch, and then they can't stretch anymore. And that being the case, okay. We can love everybody that's involved, but nevertheless recognize we have to make the tough decisions, and then just go on.